Hey, Matt, do you need to use the restroom or something? Go ahead, and then if you could come back out and come up here, if you don't mind. Anybody else need to use the restroom? There you go. Good morning, everyone. You know, I really enjoy the uniqueness, the differences and the uniquenesses of God and His presence from time to time. It's just a unique kind of experience this morning. At least I had one. Amen. I had this scripture on my heart for a couple days, and it came back this morning, so I'm just going to share it with you. It's out of John chapter 5, verse 39. And Jesus is speaking, and He said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me, and you are unwilling to come to me that so you may have life." That's an interesting passage. You know, we're doing the Community Bible Experience, Kansas City Bible Experience, reading through the New Testament in 40 days, 8 weeks. How many of you are enjoying it? Getting the Word on you, in you? But you know, we're not reading the Word just to read it and just to get through it. Nobody does that, right? We just get through it just so we can finish it and check it off at the end of our reading time. Nobody does that but me. But we read the Word and engage in the Scripture. Why? So we can know Him better. Why do we come this morning and worship and sing songs? So we can interact with not only one another, but with Him, and so we can know Him better. I mean, if we attend services, conferences, read the Word, listen to worship, engage in worship, but we don't know Him, we miss the relational interaction with Him, knowing Him, we've really missed it all. We've missed it all, because it's really all about Him and knowing Him. And really, if we turn that around, it's why, because we know Him, that's why we do what we do. That's why we sing. That's why we pour our heart out. That's why we pray and engage in communication. I ask you to come back, if you don't mind, sharing with everybody a little bit of what you shared with me today about some of the healing stuff. That's okay. Because, you know, there's an anointing on you this morning. So I'm okay with you just talking.
I don't know. So, as most of you probably have known by seeing my various afflictions over the last few months, that I've had a rough like 4 or 5 months. You know, started with me, it was really just, I don't know if it was like a bladder infection or whatever, but the doctor had put me on, it wouldn't go away, and he had put me on a high dose of Cipro. And I'll tell you, if you ever take Cipro, don't do it. Never. Because I was moving a machine with my father, and that's how I popped my Achilles. They've got links now. FDA actually came out and said that taking that antibiotic makes your tendons break. And so I had surgery on my Achilles. And then while I was recovering with that and getting better, at some point in there I found this fabulous new cleaner for my inflatables, and I decided I was going to clean my inflatables. But I didn't really use good wisdom or common sense. But that's how, if you guys saw me with my second to third degree burns on the top of my feet that took my skin off. And then they started getting infected, so they put me on another antibiotic. And this whole course of antibiotics just destroyed my gut. I mean, I had nothing left, not being gross, but you want the truth. The truth is, having diarrhea for 3 weeks is not a good place to be. Okay? And, I kept feeling more sick and more sick, and we went on a trip to Arkansas, and it started feeling like it was just getting worse, and I called my family doctor, and he said, "This has gone on long enough, something else is really bad. you need to go to the ER. And so my wife took me to the ER while we were down there, and you know, they were running tests for C. diff and took a bunch of blood and everything, and most things all came back okay. They still weren't sure if I had C. diff or not, but the thing that started affecting me that was really driving me crazy was within about, we left for Arkansas on a Tuesday morning, and on the way down, we even stopped by Sonic, and I had a cheeseburger and some fried jalapeno poppers, and loved that stuff. We ate it in the car on the way down, but something happened in between Tuesday that I went to the ER. It was something happened that all of a sudden, like, everything started to smell and taste totally just repugnant. Like, I couldn't even eat, you know, and while we were at the ER, the doctor came in and she said, they did a CT, and she said, well, listen, she said, you got a problem with your liver. You've got fatty liver, it's showing in the CT. You know, you're going to need to do something about this. You know, you're going to need to lose weight and get better or healthier, or you're going to need a new liver, you know, I didn't really think, I was kind of in shock when they said it, because I wasn't sure what was up with that. Knew I hadn't been taking care of myself. My wife, who's a nurse, would lecture me on a weekly basis saying, let's see, how did she say it? You're fat, you must do something. That's not exactly how she said it. But she's in the healthcare field, and so she kept telling me, saying, hey, listen, I see all the things that overweight causes every day. And I don't want this for you. Something needs to happen. And I've tried lots of times to diet and lose weight, and I've gone on a roller coaster back and forth. But when we were in that room, she said, did you already know about this fatty liver and you just didn't tell me? And I said, no. And she said, did you sure you didn't say something to Joe? And I said, no, why? And she said, you don't remember the Sunday before we left? And I said, no, I don't. And she said, whenever he was up there speaking, you know, he prophesied something about, he heard the words fatty liver. That was 2 days before I went to the ER. So if you don't think that God's speaking through people, I didn't know at the time that was for me. Joe didn't know at the time that was for me. But it did two things. It let me know that God already knew what was going to happen. He already knew I would go to the ER and that a doctor would say, this is what's wrong. And in a way, that makes me feel really good, because my Heavenly Father cares enough about me to tell me ahead of time that this is going to happen, and it's going to be okay. Because if I already know about it, I already have a plan and a process in place to fix it. And if I have a plan and process in place to fix it, your healing is going to be there. And she said, if you'll fix things, you know, this will probably fix itself. But before I ever went to the ER, that thing happened in my smell and my taste. And I don't know what it is. I can't describe it. I can't tell you. I can tell you that I haven't had meat in going on over 2 weeks now. I can only eat fruits and vegetables, not because it makes me sick to eat it, but that the smell of anything that's bad, and it's like somebody was in my shop this week, they came to visit me, and they ate a frozen processed burrito that was in my freezer that I used to eat. And the smell that came out of the room, I was in two rooms over, and as soon as it started coming out of the microwave or toaster, whatever, I could smell it from there, and the smell was so repugnant that it made me want to vomit. And I'll be honest, things like coffee. I love coffee. I love having Starbucks. I got $20 on a Starbucks card if somebody wants it. But I haven't been able to have coffee. Even when people have coffee at the shop, I'm learning to live with the smell and taste. And I don't know if it's normal. You know, my wife still wants me to go follow up and get my liver enzymes and all that stuff drawn. But I did a whole lot of research, and I started being real stressed out, like something's really wrong. You know, like even to the point of finding, you can find anything on the internet. Okay. You can find anything. You can find somebody that has your ailment and they can convince you that you have their disease. Okay? But I can tell you who has the answer. So, this, and one of the days that I was struggling, this was actually 3 days ago. It was the 23rd, and I was reading Proverbs 23, and because I was really like, God, how long is this going to go on? You know, I can't eat the fried foods make me, you know. But the side benefit of the things are, like, I'm going to tell you, I'll just say this part first. Obviously, this wasn't planned. Proverbs 23, I was reading it because it was the morning that I'd gotten up, and I just determined that even though I felt really bad still, because going from eating all kinds of stuff to only fruits and vegetables totally, it was first very, I was tired. My body was weak, my body, I think, was getting used to it. I don't know, but Proverbs 23, it says, and this was a morning that I'd gotten up. I did what I was supposed to do. I went to the gym, and I didn't do a bunch. I did like 15 minutes, but I just felt like this whole time, I felt like in the back of my head, this was something bigger than what it is. It was something from something in my spirit was saying, this is okay. You're going to do this for a while. It may come back. I don't know. It's that trusting part, I guess. So I determined that I was going to get up, and every day I was going to do what I should. You know, I've gone from the guy that would eat, you know, nothing during the day, and then at night binge eat and then eat before I went to bed, to eating small meals throughout the day. Dad can attest, I've been eating platefuls of salad for breakfast, lunch, the afternoon. And I don't know, this Proverbs 23, it was a day I went to the gym that morning. I was still coming back, and I was sitting at the kitchen table eating plant-based kashi cereal, because that's the only thing I could find that smelled not funny. And I started just reading Proverbs 23, and it said, when you sit down to dine, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man of great appetite. And I missed a word. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man of great appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. And then the other thing that God was dealing with me, and a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine, Timmy, he looked at me whenever I got back from Arkansas, and he just said the words. So he said, until you figure out your value, who God really has you to be, and you start treating yourself with that kind of value about what you put in your body and taking care of yourself and taking time to do things like exercise and spend time with family. And this part right here said, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration on it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacy. And I just think that God was speaking to me that day, saying, don't desire what I don't want you to have. That if you trust me, you're gonna be okay. You know, and that's where I'm at. You know, I'm not telling you that I'm never going to eat another fried food. I would love it if I could go have something. But I know right now I feel like this is what God has for me. And I'm seeing benefits. I'm losing weight like crazy. But, you know, other side benefits, like, you know, my skin, the little ailments that were on my skin that are going away, and not having to use medicine to make them go away. They're just going away on their own. And, you know, he knows before I ever knew that fatty liver thing was going to come out. And I don't know if I don't believe that the taste and smell stuff is, and I can't describe it to somebody that has never experienced it. I don't know. But it's just that trusting part.
We back? Oh, yeah. Everybody heard what I asked anyway, right? Does anybody else have a testimony from healing, for healing, whether it's on a, you're on a journey of it like Matt, or you've had an instantaneous healing, or Lee? Yeah.
Now it's on. Anyway, in 2005, I became totally disabled. Yeah. Nobody. Use the other mic, Lee. Anyway, up a little bit, Kate. Thank you. Anyway, in 2003, from 2003 to 2005, I became totally disabled. I have metal leg braces, two of them in my garage, a wheelchair. I have two powered wheelchairs that I use to get around. Because I couldn't physically walk. I couldn't physically do anything, really. My son and I had started our business in 2003, and it was really discouraging to me that I was not able to continue in that. And, but from 2005 to 2008, if you were to count up the number of times I've been in the hospital and the number of surgeries, I had 13 surgeries. Been hospitalized 21 times. You can kill that, Cade. Thank you. Anyway, in 2008, up to that point, I'd had a series of surgeries, and just like Matt, I was prescribed multiple antibiotics. Not just oral, but then I was at home taking antibiotic injections and IV injections of antibiotics because I had severe staph infections due to the surgeries that I'd had. And as a result of that, in 2000, I had, this is going to gross some people out, Matt's already said it though, but I had severe diarrhea. And it just kept going on and on and on. And I'm not one to go running to the doctor, never have been. But I just told my wife, I said, I can't do this anymore. You got to call the doctor and get something for this diarrhea. And she called the doctor, and the doctor said, I'm not going to prescribe you anything. You need to come in now. And in 2008, on January the 5th, it's amazing how events in your life can become so ingrained and affect your total outlook and your perspective and how you do things and how you operate in your life for the rest of your life. In 2008, on January 5th, I went to the doctor I couldn't get from the car to the office. They wheeled me in a wheelchair. I couldn't climb on the examination table. They had to lift me up and put me on the examination table. And I don't know anything really for 6 weeks. I just had little glimpses of periods of time when I was conscious. But when they put me on the examination table, my blood pressure had dropped to 45 over 40. And consequently, I passed out. And I just remember the doctor yelling for the nurse to call the ambulance. I don't remember much after that. I remember in the ambulance, I came conscious for a few seconds or a few minutes. And the guy says, "We got you in time, I think." And they took me to the ER. And I was in ICU from January 5th until March 17th. I was on a feeding tube. I was breathing. And I had whatever they call that. They put down your stomach to pump stuff out and all this kind of mess. But anyway, I can tell you this, in 2005, I weighed 325 pounds. And I'll tell you that God has a plan for everything. You know, it's just like Joshua. He went to prison. He went through a lot of difficulty. But God had a plan for his life. On March 17th, I was discharged. I still had to go visit my surgeon. And he said, the last visit I had with him, because I had to remove my colon because it was sick. It was destroying my body. And so I went to him the last time. He says, "I can tell you this." His name is Dr. James, if you ever have. He's a wonderful Christian. In fact, that's all I had treating me while I was in the hospital. It was this lady, Dr. Wakula, who was from Africa. And she was a sweetheart, and she was a Christian. She was an encourager to me all the time I was in the hospital. But Dr. James said, "There is no reason on this earth that you're alive today, except for one, that God has a purpose for your life. He has a reason for you being here." And you don't hear that a lot from doctors. You know, it's not politically correct. But he said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." And a lot of people say, "Well, you know, because you don't have a colon and your appetite changed and things you could eat and so forth, you know, that's the reason why you lost weight." No, I have lost weight because God told me to lose weight. And not that it was easy. But I knew, he told me that, you know, all the problems, and I could trace back, literally, I could take every one of those 21 hospitalizations except for three. Every one of the surgeries that I had was a result of being overweight, obese, to the point of 325 pounds. I now weigh 170 to 180 pounds. That's between. Not because of anything I've done, but because God, in number one, he brought me to a point where he allowed me to get to a point. Let's put it that way. He didn't do it. I brought whatever happened, I did to myself, okay? God didn't do it. But he allowed me to get to that point that he said, "You know, I have more for you to do, and you can't do it being 325 pounds. You got to lose weight." Well, from 2008 until 2011 is what it took me to lose the 150 pounds that I needed to lose. And little did I know that in 2011 I would have a grandson that I would be responsible for raising. And that's not a coincidence that I came to that point in my life in 2011 where I was able to physically be a father to him when he doesn't have a father. Just to do things with him that a father needs to do, that I could not have possibly done without having been obedient to the leading that God would have had in my life. And ever since then, it's been, there's things. I can't, this sounds really obtuse in a way, because I can't eat vegetables. I can eat proteins, but I can't eat vegetables because they just go through my body like, that's what fiber does. I have nothing to stop it. So I have to eat a lot of proteins, cheese and meat and stuff like that, just opposite of Matthew. And I think it's also, I love salads. And I've got to admit, every once in a while I do indulge, but I mean, it's just like about this much. That's all I can handle, So, I mean, whenever you come through God's plan in your life, not everything is going to be what you desire it to be, nor is it going to happen the way you think it should happen. You just need to be submitted to God and allow Him to do what He needs to do in your body and in your life to bring you to the point of the purpose that He has in your life. And little did I know, from the journey from 2005 to 2011, I was going to have Nathaniel. And I know that there's a lot of other reasons that God has, but He's my primary reason right now. I'm able to get out and play at least 30 minutes of baseball with Him. I can run the bases. I couldn't have done that then. 2011, He healed me. I was hobbling around here. I'd been hobbling around here for almost a year. And in 2011, He supernaturally healed me in this place that I could get up and walk and I can run and I can do things that I could not do before. I can remember shortly after my healing, man, it was awesome. I was running down the sidewalk. God, I want you to encourage you that whatever you're going through, that sometimes it is a journey. We have this microwave mentality that we think, that whatever's going wrong in our lives, ought to be taken care of immediately. But I can tell you that your walk with God and where He's taking you, a lot of times, yes, God still does the miraculous. Yes, He does the supernatural. And sometimes it is instantaneous. But I can tell you that there's a walk of faith depending on God and going through the journey and coming to the purpose that He has in your life. And I want to encourage you to stand fast in that. No matter how difficult it may be, if it's giving up salad, so be it. If it's giving up meat, so be it. Whatever, I know this is a physical thing I'm talking about, but this is so many other areas that this is applicable to. But for me, this has been my journey. Amen.
I wasn't going to say it until he said it, but so I just want to piggyback on what he said. There is, I'm going to say this straight up. I don't want to be a vegetarian. I'm praying to God that My son says that he doesn't believe in karma, but he's like, this is because you've made fun of me for 2 years for being a vegetarian. So, I don't believe that. I believe that God made my body. He knows what my body needs. And for right now, he is, everybody knows what mercy is, right? Mercy is the unmerited favor of God. Okay? There are times in our lives where we mess up and we do something and God says, here's some mercy. I fixed it. There are other times whenever he says, my grace is sufficient for you in all things. And grace is the power to do things that we are unable to do. And so God's telling me, you've dieted, you've done stuff. Right now, my grace is all over you. Because I'm giving you the power to not eat the things that aren't good for your body. It may not stay that way forever, but he's doing two things. One, he's making it easier for me because the power's there and available. All I have to do is access it and walk in it. But he's also, the other thing that he's doing is he's teaching me obedience and good habits to walk out what's best for my body. So walk in the grace that he has for you every day.
No, you can hold on to that. Oh. I don't really have much here to add to any of all this. This has just been too good. Could you maybe pray for us? And then if anybody's not feeling well, you are sick, you've got something going on in your body, I want you to grab hold of this by faith. Just because God's already provided healing for us.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Whenever I was in Arkansas and after the fatty liver thing came out, and I don't even remember what it was about. She probably does. But I had texted Renee, and it was a fight between my wife and I because she's like, stop texting while you're driving. She's like, let me do it.
Unbelievable.
And I asked Renee, we were talking about probiotic stuff because I'd started taking that before then. And honestly, I stopped taking them because I just don't feel like that's what I'm supposed to do right now. It's not what God told me to do. But something Renee said, because I asked her through Messenger, I said, did Joe tell you about this fatty liver thing? And she said, yes, he did. She said, what do you think about it? And I said, well, I'm a little taken back and trying not to freak out about it. And she said, God has a healing strategy for you. You know, and that might have been just something she said. I don't think it was, though. Because I really, that was the point whenever I heard, there's a strategy I have in place. It's like that game, you know, game of chess or anything like that. It's hard to see 40 moves into the future. But right now, I'm just following and walking out what God's saying to do. And I don't think anybody, whether it's Facebook Live, whether it's in this room, can deny. You can go back and look at the feed and hear Joe say the words, fatty liver. And 2 days later in an ER, a doctor comes to me and says, you have a fatty liver. There's nothing, I'm sorry, that's profound. That is a God that is alive and well and speaking and hearing and saying, I'm here, I'm going to take care of it. Amen?
Amen. Good, good. Can you pray for us and all those who might be sick? Or
Father in heaven, I just come to you. And Lord, I thank you that you are a God that's on the throne, reigning all the time. And sometimes it's really easy to look in our own little box and go, these are all my problems, these are all my situations, these are all my circumstances. And we get so tunnel-minded on that, and we stay so focused on our problems that we don't look to you for the answer. Lord, Father, we want to hear with ears clearly, because your strategies may not be everything that feels good in my flesh, But your strategies are the best. They are the most uniquely designed for me personally. That you care enough about me. That you care enough about us. To uniquely tell each one of us what you have for us, what you want for us, what your desires are for us. And when we line up in that perfect spot, where we line up with what you want us to do, and then our will becomes that, greatness happens. And then you're all over us. You give us the power to walk it out through your grace. So, Father, I just pray for ears to hear. Anybody that's struggling with physical things in their body, that you will open up their ears to hear your words, to hear strategies that you have to fix their diabetes, to fix their overweightness, to fix the cancer that's in their body, Father God. Lord, we're not looking for a microwave mentality. We're looking for your mentality. Because things that come out the microwave don't taste good. But Father, what you have for me is the absolute best. It tastes the best. It looks the best. It is everything that I need to live life to godliness. So I just thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.